chapter 16. Another praise I didn't share is we were able to figure out the shuttle problem last night. And went to start it and it didn't start and had some issues and found out that the starter was the problem. And so late last night, we got the starter changed. Got done with it at 11:30. And so now it works right, praise the Lord. And so that was a lot cheaper than we thought it was going to be. Acts 16. Today I'm going to talk about the foundations of joy. The foundations of joy, Acts 16. I'm going to start at verse 22. And it said, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his family straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his house. All right, let's pray. We'll talk about the foundations of joy. And Lord, we thank you for the chance to have a service, to preach your word, a chance to study your word, and a chance to learn about joy, Father, as a new year is around. And Father, life is short, and we want to have a good life and a happy life. We don't know if we will have that, Lord, but we know that we can have a joyful life. And we pray you'd help us to learn that today. I pray that your spirit would cast out the darkness and bring light into our souls today. I pray in the name of Jesus that the evil one would be gone and the Spirit of God would move here, Father. And we need you, and we thank you for your Spirit and the one who leads and guides us into all truth. And we pray now that he would control and lead and guide us, and you give me the words and the thoughts and everything else that goes along with the message, Lord. I pray that it be your will, and I pray it'd be encouraged and strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this all started, this whole story here, with a young lady that was possessed, and she was a... she was being used by men to go and to tell the future and do all kinds of things. In verse 16, it was a girl with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And understand that there really is power in the occult, and this is doing psychic work and things like that. And demons, there is power. Satan has real power. And the demons have real power, and there is real power in the occult. If you want power from witchcraft and the occult, there is real power in there. And some of it's fake, and some of it's gadgets and things like that, but there really is a power. And all that has to happen is somebody has to go to somebody who has a demon and is possessed with a demon and say, tell me about my grandma. And some other demon who is along with that grandma for all those years just has to come to that other demon and say, well, his grandma always used to call him whatever and always used to give him hugs and kiss him on the cheek. And the possessed person says, oh, your grandma who always used to give you hugs and give you kisses on the cheek. Wow, this is real. I need to do this more. And, of course, when you get into the occult, you open the door into the demonic world and you begin to get, if you're not saved, you can get possessed. If not, you can just, if you're saved, then you can just get demons tag along with you because you invited them with you. And get yourself in big, big, big trouble. That's why you don't read the horoscope. That's why you don't do anything occultish, mess that stuff, because there's real demons involved. And she was doing this. She was soothsaying. She was telling the future and telling unknown things. And she's making her masters a whole bunch of money through doing it. And so she was doing that. And I was talking to someone who was from a third world country, and he was telling me about his country. And I know that country is full of witchcraft. And I said, is there witchcraft there? He says, you know, he said that witchcraft is so powerful and so real. He's a Christian. He says, it is so powerful and so real, the things that those that they can do with the voodoo and the witchcraft. He said it's real, it's powerful, it's demonic. And it is true, and it started with that. But a greater power came, which is the power of God, and came with the men of God. And the men of God came, and Paul and Silas came along, and she was here in Philippi. She started following them. And the demons in her kept on saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. And verse 17, and they show you the way of, they show us the way of salvation. I don't know if it was mocking, I don't know, but it kept saying that. And demons did talk about and name Jesus, what he really was, and talk about him because they understand authority. Demons are, all angels and demons are subject to authority. They have to obey a higher power. Humans got the free will not to do that. And so these demons come along and start saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, and following them around for days and days. And finally, after a while, Paul turns around and rebukes him and says, come out of here, spirit of divination. And the demon comes out. In the name of Jesus Christ, verse 18, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace under the rulers. Well, here's this girl who knows how miserable life was. Possessed people are very, very sad people, suicidal people, brokenhearted people. And she is set free, but they were making money off her. And so Acme Psychic Company owners went and grabbed her and drug them into the town square and said, these people are teaching us false things. They started lying about them. It says, and they do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive neither to observe, being Romans. And he said, hey, these guys are, they should have said, they cast the demon out of our person and we're not making money anymore, but that's not what they did. Understand, when people turn against you, they'll lie about you. When they're against you serving God, and you'll be shocked. Don't be shocked. If people are attacking you because you're a Christian, not because you did something wrong, because you're a Christian, expect the devil to lie. He's a father of lies. And they're going to lie about you. Don't get all upset and angry and furious and bitter. Understand, that's who I'm dealing with, and the devil's fighting it, and the devil's fighting God doing the work. And so they beat them. They ripped their clothes off and laid upon them many stripes. They beat them so bad that they had wounds that were sitting open. We find out later had to be treated, but they didn't treat their wounds. They just took them and shut them into prison and said to the keeper of the prison, do not let them free. Put them in the innermost part of the prison. And so they locked them in the innermost part of the prison. Man, they were free 24 hours ago, and now they got open wounds on their back, and they're locked in the innermost part of the prison. And they began praying and praising God. They didn't sit there and mope. They didn't call their lawyer. They didn't cry and they didn't get upset all the whole time. They were in pain. They were upset. They were mistreated. Life wasn't good physically. And yet they began to praise God. And verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. It started with a girl who was possessed. When it was done, you had a man saved who was suicidal. And all of his house was also saved. In between that was some people who had joy. They praised God. The foundations of the jail, a huge earthquake came, and the doors were open, and the everything, they were set free. The jailer ran in there to kill himself. And he said, oh no, the prisoner's set free. He took a sword to kill himself. And Paul and Silas said, don't do yourself any harm. You know what? We're still here. And the man had such conviction because he saw something that he wanted, and he saw the power of God, and he saw real Christians, that he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have. And that's what we as Christians should live and have, in such a way where when the people see us, they say, I don't have what you have. You have something different. You have something powerful, something real. But I think sometimes, although we have access to supernatural joy, I think many times Christians don't have any more joy than the average person out there. That's sad. We have so much going for us, and we have the power to have this joy that the world can't have. It's a supernatural joy, and some of us have it, but some of us don't. Some of us pound the steering wheel just as much when the light turns red as the unsaved person. Some of us go and get just as mad at our kids or just as mad at our spouse and lose our temper just as much as the unsaved person. Some of us, when our bills aren't getting paid, we're just all upset and throwing a fit and screaming and yelling just like the other person because we don't have joy like we should have. And I want to talk about joy. I think, Lord willing, next Sunday I'm going to preach a second message on how to have fullness of joy and much deeper joy. But I want to get this the foundation of joy today. Paul and Silas had joy. The Philippian jailer, though he's suicidal, he soon had joy also. He wouldn't have gotten it if Paul and Silas wouldn't have had joy. They would have just been a couple more prisoners in the cell. But he ended up being saved and his family saved and having joy. The Philippian jailer went from suicidal to joy. He says in verse 27, it says, the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners would have been free. If you look at the same guy, verse 34, and when he brought them to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and all his house. Same night! And that's exciting because his life was transformed. We need to serve the Lord with delight and gladness. The word joy is the word kara, you would say it, kara. It means a calm delight, calm delight. It also means gladness of heart. What joy is in the Bible, it's a very deep down inside, calm happiness. It's a gladness that is deep down inside that makes you glad and delighted in things. It's much more profound than happiness. See, joy, you understand, is not an emotion. It's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Emotions, we have to get out of this mindset. It's just completely terrible, this mindset. And by the way, when I learned this, it was a long time after being a Christian when I really grasped this. And when you say this, most people don't even understand it. You're saying, we are an emotional-based society. Emotions do not matter. This is vital for you to understand this. You must be guided in life by things much more profound and much more stable than emotions. Whenever somebody comes to me and they say, I'm making a decision, I just feel like, I already know it's a bad decision. Never make a decision saying, I feel like. Did you hear me there? It's really hard to get that. Well, I just feel like dating him. I just feel like this would be fun. I just feel like this is the kind of church I'd like to go to. I just feel like I'd like to work at this job. I just feel like, no matter how you feel. Emotions are completely unreliable. And our society always just follow your heart. The Bible says, he that trusteth his heart is a fool. Proverbs says. That's a quote. Your emotions are so unstable. They are so unreliable. You can go back home today at 1 p.m. and you can find out all of a sudden your football team lost and your decider called your emotions is broken suddenly. Your emotions change on everything. My diet, if you give me a lot of chocolate, my emotions change. At first they're, I got chocolate. Then later they're, get away from me, I'll kill you. That's emotions change by too much sugar. Emotions change. You give me too much caffeine, my emotions are messed up. Give me the first 5 minutes I'm awake, my emotions are not reliable. Don't get me near any sharp objects. Emotions are unstable. You're all of a sudden, it's cloudy outside, my emotions are down. Who cares how you feel? It's unreliable. One person walks by and criticizes you and said, man, you look terrible. And all of a sudden your emotions are poof. You don't decide things by your emotions. Emotions are just a thing, a whim that comes and goes and changes all the time. And when they're good, enjoy it. But you ever been down when you don't know why you're down and you shouldn't be down? You ever had everything going good and you feel miserable and sad? You ever had everything going great and all of a sudden you feel terrible? Listen, emotions are completely unreliable and you've got to get beyond emotions and get joy in your life. You can have joy and not be happy. Happiness is just an emotion. I'm happy. My team won. My wife kissed me, and it's sunny outside, and my car's running good. Oh, it's a great day outside. It's sunny. Everything's going good. My finances are okay. My job. That guy cut me off. And your emotions are changed, that quick. Someone once said, a woman is the only creature in the world who can look at you and say, I love you, and 15 seconds later look at you and say, I hate you, and mean it both times. Emotions. And more so, by the way, more so women, you are more emotional creatures than men are. I'm not saying that's bad, that's good. That's why baby runs to you, not us. Ah, it's fine. When I was a kid, I had an 18-inch long scar cut along my head, sitting wide open. I didn't even close it up before the end of the football game. Get out of here. That's what men do. Women are much better at emotions in some ways. Yet women, you make emotional decisions a lot of times. How many times have we seen an emotional woman, because he loves me, and go date a loser, because she felt like he loved her. And that's, women, you need to have a man in your life somewhere that helps guide you in decisions, so you don't just make most, because that's your weakness. By the way, men need women to help make good decisions in certain ways, because they can do things. But listen, we need to not just live our lives by emotions. I feel great. I feel like going, I don't feel like going to church today. So? Do you feel like going to work on Monday? Well, no. Do you go to work? Yeah. Okay. Who cares if you don't feel like going to church on Sunday? Go anyway. I don't feel like being nice to them. So what? Be nice. Well, no, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite at work. Did you feel like going to work? No. Did you go to work? Yeah. Okay. You didn't follow your emotions. You can't follow your emotions all the time. How often did you go to work if you went to work when you felt like it? How often would you be a good parent if you only took care of your kids when you felt like it? When you only spent money on your wife when you felt like it? When you're only nice to somebody when you felt like it? How often did you do right in life? How often did you stop at a yellow light when you felt like it? How often would you pay your bills if you only paid your bills when you felt like it? You know how often I feel like paying my bills? Never. Who cares how you feel? Feelings don't matter. You take your feelings and you say, oh, you know what? I'm in a bonus thing. What I need to do is line up with what I feel like doing today. I feel like going to church today. I get a double bonus. But you go to church and you don't feel like it. You read your Bible when you don't feel like it. You love somebody when you don't feel like loving them. You're kind when you don't feel like kind. You don't live your life by feelings. You live your life by deeper things like joy and peace. Because if you get the joy and peace from God, it doesn't go away. And we are supposed to have a life where we are serving God with joy. God is not like some of you going and some of us going and saying, you know what, I guess I have to go to church. I guess I have to read a Bible. I guess I have to pray. I guess I have to love my neighbor and be nice to my family. And I guess I... God said, I don't want you to serve me that way. I want you to be happy to serve me. Psalms 100, it says, verse 2, God wants us happy when we serve him. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to be glad to serve him. Psalms chapter 100, serve the Lord with gladness. And by the way, in the Bible, gladness and joy are interchanged from the same Hebrew and Greek word. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Romans 14, verse 17, it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Serving God is joyful. Don't go serving God at such a long face that you don't have to tip your pop-up to get a drink. I mean, serve the Lord with a happy face. Serve the Lord with joy. Be glad you're a Christian. Be glad you get to serve God. Be glad you get to go to church. Be glad you get to help somebody. Be glad you get to love your family. Be glad you get to read your Bible. Be glad you get to go witnessing. Be glad when you serve God. God wants us to serve him with joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, and I have a lot of verses, and I don't know if you want to try to turn to all of them, because I'm going to read a lot of verses today about joy, but serving God is a great life. And have a joy even if you're not happy. Even if you're not feeling bubbly. Serve the Lord anyway. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a life of happiness and joy. It's a life of God wants us to go forward and say, I am serving God with joy. It might be tough, it might not be easy, but I'm going to be glad to serve God and have joy in my life. Joy is something you have more than something you feel. Here in 1 Peter, watch this. Look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, Rejoicing is having joy, is the act of showing joy. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold which that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says, you might be in great trial and affliction and great heaviness. And that happens in your life. Great heaviness doesn't mean you're happy. Yet at the same time, you're rejoicing. I'm still rejoicing because I have something more solid in my how I feel and my emotions. I have joy. See, joy is not an emotion. It is not something you have. Or it's not something you feel. It's something you have. I have joy, though I don't feel happiness. Heaviness and joy can coexist. Brokenheartedness and joy can go together. The Bible says that it's so important to have joy. Why? Because hard times come and joy will make you through it when you won't have positive emotions. The joy of the Lord is my strength, we sang today. It's in the book of Nehemiah. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you get depressed and you get sad, you don't base your life and everything on your sadness. And you don't base everything on you, how you feel. You have joy to stabilize you. And you have an anchor that holds you. And you can only go so far away and only get so far away from that joy where you have joy constantly, though you are feeling not so good. Though it's a cloudy, rainy day. Though things something in your house broke. Or though your finances are having a hard time. Or though somebody rejected you or somebody forsook you or you're lonely. You still have joy because joy is not an emotion. Joy is a fruit that comes from God. Let me give you the foundations of real joy, because the world's joy, the world's happiness goes away, but ours doesn't. Let me read you out of Proverbs chapter 10. And the world's joy perishes. Proverbs chapter 10, and this is an interesting verse. But we who have our hope in God and serve God, we have joy that doesn't get taken from us. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Did you know if you serve God and live your life for God, and this is very consistent, and I've seen this so many hundreds of times over the years, just people, those who start serving God, their future is bright. And they have a hope that makes them glad in the future. And they're looking forward to life. Those who do not, and those who have the world, their hope gets dashed. We just saw it with the 401ks lately. All the companies closed down, the 401ks crashed, and their expectation was destroyed so quickly that they would not accept it. And they said, we need you, government, to fix this thing, because we will not accept my money being gone. People were jumping out of buildings in the Great Depression. Why? Their expectation is like that. They don't have God's joy. Their peace, their hope, their everything in their life is taken from them. One car accident, their health is gone. They don't get another body in their mind. It's just this life and they're done. And now they're paralyzed and their hope's gone. All of a sudden their finances fall apart, their hope's gone, their marriage is destroyed, and boom, their whole life was completely devastated and destroyed. Their child gets a sickness, their hope is gone. You know what though, you don't have to be like that, because you have God's way of having joy. And your expectation doesn't get destroyed. The expectation of the wicked shall perish. The best thing they can hope for is leaving the way they started. They live a long life and they leave with no teeth and in diapers. That's the way they started. That's the way they'll go out if they live a long life. And then they go into nothing, they think. That's not a real hopeful thing. I'm so glad that's not true. The foundation of joy, number one, it does not come from simply having easy times. Joy does not come from simply having easy times. Oh, yeah, I'm going to serve God. See, this is the prosperity junk that we get from the preachers. They say, oh, yeah, it's going to be a great life serving God because everything's going to go great and everything's going to be happy and you're going to be prospering and blessed and everything else. That's not where joy comes from. It's because God has blessed you so much. Blessings are bonuses, but you get joy from something beyond blessings. We get blessed sometimes by God, and God does things for us, and He does, and we praise Him for it, and I thank God for all the blessings we have. But you know what? The people who don't have the blessings that we have in America, they're very happy. Filipino Christians I saw who were very poor are very happy. Christians around the world who don't have much can have joy, even though they don't have much. It doesn't come from easy times. It said, even though through manifold temptations you rejoice. Let me take you some verses way in the end of the New Testament. First Thessalonians. Your joy does not come from simply having easy times. So many people want to say, you know what, I'm going to be happy as soon as everything happens. And you know what, don't we do that? Okay, as soon as my health gets better and I get a good job and my finances are under control, then I'll be happy. Then I'll have that happiness. You know how often is it when all your bills are paid, your health is good, everybody loves you, your job's great, everything's done, you're sitting around, and your wife's rubbing your feet while you're watching football? I mean, how often is your husband sitting there giving you a back massage with your box of chocolate in front of you, and you're sitting there and you feel good, the kids love you, the house is clean, and everything's wonderful, and all your relatives love you, and you got, your husband says, what should we do with this extra money? If you're going to wait till that happens, and by the way, if you need to know what to do with the extra money, talk to me. But in the meantime, the Bible says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Hey, I was right dead set in the will of God this morning, went over to start that shuttle out there, and it went, room, room. I said, okay, Lord, very funny. I'm preaching on joy, and you do this. You know what? If you're waiting until everything's going perfect, and just about when you get life figured out, your body starts breaking down. Yep. I got it all fit. Now I got life. I got life by the horns. And then the bull throws you and stomps on you. And you say, I got it all figured out. And you're, all of a sudden you get these aches and pains all over. And all of a sudden your gravity gets much stronger and all kinds of things happen. And you know what? Listen, don't. You're walking around Seattle saying, I'm not going to get wet in the rain. Just quit trying to miss the raindrops. You're going to get raindrops. Don't be happy with raindrops. Because you're going to get raindrops. That's just what's going to happen. It does not come from the lack of hard times. 1 Thessalonians. There's a lot of verses on this, but I'll take it. We already read one about rejoicing through manifold temptations. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received of the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. You took the word of God, you got saved, and they persecuted you, and you had joy in the Holy Ghost at the same time. You know what's really funny? Yesterday evening, I went out and to start the new shuttle, because it doesn't always start good, because we found out the starter's bad. And you know what? The starter said, I am done. That was... oh, I don't know, 6 o'clock last night. Call one of my mechanics, too busy, can't make it. Call a second mechanic, I can come at 9:30. Okay, we'll do it. He comes by, works in the thing, and he puts it all the way in, gets it all installed and everything, and it does not work. That was last night. Last Sunday, somebody left the lights on the old shuttle, the nursery. They left it on. We had a jump start at Sunday night. It took us forever to get a jump started. After everybody was gone, we're jump started in the shuttle. And then we got it started, and I was tired, and it was 10 o'clock at night. And I drove it and parked it, and I didn't let it charge long enough. And this morning, that one is dead. The joy of the Lord. And the Lord does that to me when I'm preaching on joy. I'm not going to ever preach on joy again. I'm going to preach on something. I'm going to preach on misery. And then they'll say, okay, let me make you relate to miserable people. You know what? I had to be able to preach on joy this morning, though. When your cars don't start and you have to get, and then nobody was ready this morning. Of course, everybody was asleep. Everybody wasn't ready to come. Everybody was still sleeping in. I had to go wake everybody up. It isn't New Year's anymore, by the way. I did that, and. But you know what? I can still have joy today. I don't, but I could. I can still have joy today. And I still can. Because joy is not through easy times, everything going good. You know how many things could be wrong? I could have been in a serious car wreck this morning. I could have had a bunch of worse things than that happen. Something tragic could happen to one of my kids last night. I can be fine though I have trials. I'm gonna have trials. I can have a headache this morning. I can have my knee ache this morning. I can have my ankle aching this morning. I can still have joy, and you can still have joy though everything's not good. You say, you don't know what home I'm gonna go home to. You know what? I don't. I have a good home and a happy home. But you know what? I think you still have joy. You say, you don't have the physical problems I do. I might not, but you can still have joy. You don't have the financial problems I do. I bet you I do. You know what? You can still have joy. You can still have joy. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Not my brethren, James 1, 2, count it all joy when everything goes great or when God blesses you. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that trying your faith worketh patience, and that patience have a perfect work. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm just reading some verses that say joy does not come from everything going good. So I go home today and I get down to my recliner and I start watching the Seahawks game. What if in the unlikely situation the Seahawks lose? And I got to come back and preach tonight. Yeah, God does not answer my prayers for football. I don't know why that is. And the Seahawks lose tonight. What am I going to do? Throw things at my TV. Kick the dog. Then come to church and preach on happiness. You know what? You can have. You don't base your joy on your team winning. That's happiness, but it's not joy. We'd be in trouble if Seattle teams brought us joy. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 2, how in that great trial of affliction, doesn't sound fun, doesn't sound easy, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It says they had joy, but they had great poverty, and they had great trial of affliction. It does not come from having easy times. Do not say, I'm going to be happy when I get easy times. The world does that. Christians need to show that we have happiness in hard times. The writer of the song, It Is Well, he wrote that song, It Is Well, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll. He wrote that song over the spot where his two daughters had washed over the sea into the ocean and died. Ship being shipped across to England. And he says, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Is he happy because his two daughters are washed over the edge? No, but is his soul well? Yes. He's going to make it. He's going to be fine. You're not happy all the time. You're not going to be happy all the time. By the way, that's why you don't I'm not happy. I'm depressed. I need a drug. No, people get depressed. It's part of life. If you're happy all the time, you would never know it. Because that would be the norm. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. Sometimes things go well, sometimes they don't. Do not base your life. Say, you know what? I'm sad today. Big deal. I got things to do. I'm glad I have joy. But you know what you do? Close the shutters, curl up in a ball, and be miserable because you're not happy. Get joy and you can have a great life. Even when things are tough and bad and the economy's down and the government's messing up and your family isn't acting right and your health isn't so hot, you still have joy that doesn't go away. It does not come from easy times. Settle into a life of hard times with joy. Just settle into it. Your joy that you get from God comes from the inside, not the outside. Turn back to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Your joy comes from the inside, not from the outside. I do not have to have a perfect latte today to be happy. It helps. I don't have to have a bunch of money today to be happy. I do not have to have that, and you don't have to have that. But I can have all that stuff and not be happy, i.e. Hollywood. Bunch of people who are miserable and depressed and always going back to rehab and everything else, and they have everything. It doesn't make you happy to have everything you think that would make you happy. It doesn't work that way. John 17. In verse 13, Jesus praying for us. And now I come to thee, and thee that And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In themselves. Look what he said in 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says, you know what? You're going to have my joy from inside of you, although you're going to have a bunch of tribulation, guys. It does not come from the lack of hard times. It does not come from simply having easy times. You do not have joy because God just blesses you so much you don't have any more problems. Christians grow old. You're going to have problems as you age. I've never met a Christian who's so godly, God's blessed them so much, that they're, man, you are 260 years old and you're still looking like you're 30. No. You're in a human body. Christians have problems. Their cars do not run for 500,000 miles without changing oil. God may bless us and do a miracle, and I've had a miraculous car before that God made miraculously last. But you know what? I've had cars that didn't miraculously last. I bought a car for $125 one time, and it lasted 2 months. And I was happy. I've never bought a car like that, temporary cars. It comes from, still have one of those. But it comes from the inside. It doesn't come from the outside. In me, they might have more joy fulfilled in themselves. Number one, it does not come from simply having easy times. Number two, it comes from the presence of God. It comes from the presence of God. Psalms. The real joy that comes from inside of you, it comes from the presence of God in your life. Psalms. It comes from the presence of God. And there's no way to explain that. You just get around God and you get close to God, and suddenly your emotions stabilize because you have joy stabilizing them. You get a little bit down, a little bit up, but you still have that deep peace and joy that says, I'm okay. I'm okay. But my back's bad. I'm okay. But my mom and dad are getting divorced. It's okay. But you know what? The government's falling to pieces. But I'm okay. Got laid off. I'm okay. My boss doesn't like me. But I'm okay. Things happen don't make sense. But you're okay. Kids are having terrible problems. But I have joy. Psalms chapter 16 in verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Psalm 16. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know why some of you come to church sad and kind of depressed? You know why you feel better when you leave here? It's not because I am so handsome and witty, although I am both, and it's not that I make you laugh so much and all those things. So we like to have church be fun. Because you get in the presence of God. He says, I am in the middle of the church, walking in the midst of the church, where two or more gather my name. I'm in the midst of them. Because Jesus is here, and something inside just makes you feel better. In thy presence is fullness of joy, if the Lord is in the church. Now, the Lord is in all the places we call church. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You know what you need to do? Get close to God. Spend some time in your Bible. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time around God, some godly people. Go to church a lot. And you know what? You'll have joy around you just because you're in the presence of God. God's presence brings joy. Salvation brings joy. If you go forward to Psalms 51, Luke 15 says, "Is rejoicing in the midst of the angels over one sinner that repenteth." There's a lot of verses that say when you, the verse we just read back in 1 Thessalonians 1, when they accepted Christ, they had great joy. The Philippian jailer, when he got saved, had great joy. Being saved brings great joy. Having Christ come into your life and forgive your sins brings great joy. Psalms 51 and verse 8. I'm sorry. Psalms 51, verse 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Well, Pastor, I'm saved and I don't have joy. Notice he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Sin will separate you from the joy of your salvation. When you know you're going to heaven, your sins are forgiven, Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and your home is heaven. When you know you have that, and you know he's in your life, and you know you are born again, you know you're a child of God, there's joy from that. But you know what? You drift away from God. You get sin in your life. You don't repent. David lost the joy of his salvation. He didn't say restored me my salvation. He didn't say I lost my salvation. I lost the joy of it. By the way, you can lose the joy of a whole bunch of things if you're not careful in life. A whole bunch of couples is the joy of being married. A whole bunch of parents lose the joy of being a parent. A whole bunch of people lose a joy. You cannot appreciate anything. Your car gets pretty old after a while, doesn't it? I got this beautiful new car, and a year later you're griping about it. But there's some people who have a junker or no car who would have the joy of having your car. We lose the happiness of things. And it's an amazing thing. You talk to a Christian who is not in the presence of God a lot and has sin separated him from God. And you say, are you saved? Yeah. Sins are forgiven. You got a mansion in heaven. You're born again. God's inside of you. He redeemed you from death unto life. He's your personal savior. And you got a mansion. You're going to be in forever in paradise. Yeah. Man, I don't want what you have. Is that contagious? I want to be excited about being saved. I want to say, you know what? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I want to sing those songs with joy. Jesus Christ took me, a sinner bound for hell, washed away my sins and gave me home in heaven forever. I'm going to be in pleasure forevermore for billions and billions of years with a new body that'll never grow old. How can you not be excited about that? Don't get more excited if who's the guy who comes to your door with the Plocher's Clearinghouse? Ed? Whatever it is, he's dead, isn't he? Don't get more excited about winning the lottery or Publisher's Clearinghouse thing. I mean, the big fat lady on The Price is Right gets more excited about it than you do when she gets the right price about your salvation. You got a home in heaven. How can you not be excited about that? Okay, you're the closest person to the prize. Big fat woman jumping on the skinny guy up there. Stop. Why do people get excited about things? You ever seen? Why do we get more excited about our team winning the game than we do about being saved? Why do we get more excited? I mean, it's amazing the things that people get excited about. You're saved, not going to hell. You're going to burn forever. Get excited. Man, okay, so your car's not running good. You're still going to go to heaven. You'll get a horse that flies and doesn't need his oil changed. You do. Revelation 19. Be excited about being saved. It comes from the presence of God. First of all, it's salvation. Secondly, abiding in him. John chapter 15. And we'll spend most of our time there in the John 14, 15, 16 area, because it talks a lot about that. Be excited about being saved today. Wish I live this more perfectly. What a great thing it is to have joy all the time. By the way, if you're dumb enough to believe when the devil tells you, go get out of church and go do the thing and get things of the world and have fun and you'll be happy inside. If you're dumb enough to believe that, you are not very observant. It doesn't work. We see it all the time. How many people have we seen try that? How many people do we see in the world trying to do that? And they have fun for a little while, happiness, but no joy. Abiding in Christ, John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's one of the things we'll talk about next week, about fullness of joy. And you can study that out if you want to, and look at ways to have fullness of joy. Deep, deep, deep joy. But you know what? It says right there, if you abide in my love, that's staying in the will of God. Christians who are in the will of God and not going off in sin have joy. Christians who do not abide in his love and do not keep his commandments do not keep the joy. You're still saved, but not every Christian has joy because they don't really follow God. But if you abide in his love, Staying close to Him. Abiding means stay plugged in, staying nearby. Number three, you get joy. It comes from God's presence, first of all, in salvation and abiding in Him. Next, from knowing He is alive. In chapter 16 of John. From knowing that Jesus Christ is alive. John chapter 16. And verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. Nothing wrong with being sad. Something's wrong with me. I'm sad. I'm weeping. I shouldn't weep. You sure you should. It's human. Jesus wept. John 11. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being sad. You're not broken. You get sad sometimes. Have joy, and the sad don't make you suicidal, depressed, miserable, and hopeless. But you'll be sad sometimes. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He's talking about the resurrection there. Go down to verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. When I give you the joy that you're going to get, nobody can walk up and say, I'm going to ruin your day. Good luck. Last night, we knocked a lot of doors this week. Last night, I got a phone call and I answered the phone. And this guy just lets me have it. Don't you ever leave one of those blankety blank blank stinking blankety blank tracks at my door ever again. Slam. I don't need that stuff. Two things. First of all, I don't know where you live. So I'm probably going to do it again. That's always humors me. Secondly, it sounds like you do need that stuff. I'm happy. I don't need anything. I'm fine. I don't need that junk. Yeah, sounds like you're doing great. Do you have such a pathetic life that at 9 o'clock at night you're going to call the church and cuss somebody out because they left a piece of paper on your door? You're pathetic, and you need a life. What would you do if I left a piece of paper on your door? I would take it, and I would throw it away. And I don't have time, and I have more of a life than to call you. Because I'm happy. And if you put an atheist track on my door, it wouldn't make me unhappy because I'm secure. And I'm right. And I have joy. And you're miserable. And it sounds like you need what we have. But he didn't leave stay on the phone long enough. And I'll go to his door again sometime. Because I don't know which door is his. He'll call me back. I told you never put one of those things on my door again. Now if you do it again, slam. And I'll laugh again. When you know Jesus is alive, no man can take your joy from you. Why? Because your joy is up in heaven. You can break my car. My health can go away. One of you guys could tackle me really hard and make me my body be hurt. I doubt it. You can go and take away my money. Our financial situation can collapse in America. I tried to prepare for that, but you know what? It can still happen with the best laid plans. My joy is in heaven. My joy is in a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's not something you take from me. My joy no man takes from you. And get your joy in knowing that God is alive, that your Savior is alive and in heaven, and He's waiting to greet you in heaven. That never goes away. Next, joy comes from the Holy Ghost. You don't need to turn there, but Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Fruit is something that comes out automatically. A tree does not say, I'm going to make myself have a fruit. No. It is plugged into the ground, and it's part of the tree, and the fruit comes out automatically. And when you get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and the fullness of the Spirit in your life, you have joy automatically. Those who go soul winning, those who get involved in God's work, those who beg God for His power, those who fulfill the seven things it says to be full of the Spirit in the Bible, those people who do that, they have great joy. Do they always get treated right? No. Does everything always go nicely for them? No. Brian first time went door knocking. The guy took a track and lit it on fire. I said, man, he should have said, hey, you need this because this is where you're going to fill for eternity. But he didn't think of it in time. And but you know what? People that slam doors in your face and you're witnessing, you witness to your relatives, they don't always say, you know what? Thank you for sharing that with me. They don't always say that. When you go do God's work, you don't always have easy things. But you know what? You can have joy because you get filled with the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit brings a peace and a joy in your life that nobody can take away. It is just there. It happens automatically. You don't say, I'm going to psych myself up and have joy. We're in the 90s. They had all those psych you up things. Tell yourself you're something. Look in the mirror. I am a winner. I am a winner. I am a winner. Just you have to say that. It says that you aren't. You know, you don't psych yourself into joy. You don't do that. Joy just comes from the presence of God. I've been around Jesus lately. I'm pretty happy. Oh, my back's laid open. I'm in prison. But you know what? Let's sing some praise to God. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day since Jesus came into my heart at midnight with your back laid open. Why? They were just in the presence of God. And they had the Holy Spirit with them, and the Holy Spirit brings that. The last thing that comes in the presence of God, the joy does, is back in 1 Peter, and we've read a couple verses from there. 1 Peter, maybe the last verse I read. This year, I want you to have a joyful year. Joyful year. I want you to have a year where you have joy in your heart. I can't guarantee you how to have ease this year. I don't know how to tell you how to not have problems this year. There's no way not to do that. The Bible says we're going to have problems. I just want you to have joy this year. You'll have sorrows, you'll have weeping, you'll have ups and downs, but have joy this year. 1 Peter chapter 4. The last thing that will give us joy from the presence of God, we said salvation, abiding in Him, knowing He is alive, the Holy Spirit, those are all from the presence of God. And last of all, the joy of heaven waiting for us. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. He says, you guys are suffering right now. But rejoice, because you're doing what Christ did. That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. No matter how bad it gets. And we're so blessed here. We don't have people killing us. We don't have people putting us in jail. We're blessed in America. But you know what? Everything we do for God, every bit of money we give for God, every time we get persecuted for God, every time that we read our Bible when we're busy and go to church and we have other things to do, and every time we love somebody who's not lovable, and every time we do the things that are hard to do and the things for God, we get treasures in heaven. And as you look forward to those treasures in heaven, and the more mature you get as a Christian, heaven starts looking better and better, and you look more and more forward to it. And you say, you know what, this world's not so hot. I'm glad I'm going to be in paradise. And you know what, I love, just a simple thought, I just think, you know, I can think of a good day in the world. I can think of some great things in this world that are pretty fun, and life's pretty good. And I can think of some great joys of this life. And there's a lot of great joys in this life, a lot of great fun, and things that I love doing. And life's exciting and good. But you know what? I think the best day on earth would be the worst day in heaven. And I can think of some pretty good days on earth. And yet every day in heaven is going to be a million fullness of joy. And no matter how bad it gets, if everything went wrong for the rest of the day, where it was the worst, most tragic day in my life, and everything was as bad as it can get, at the very worst shape, the very worst situation, I'm going to go to heaven someday and be in paradise forever. And we can't imagine heaven, and we don't always understand it, and it doesn't always make sense how good it is. And I can't really explain heaven, and I can't really even understand how good it is. I just know if I was just going to spend forever in a little paradise that I can make up on earth, it would be pretty good. Could you make up a pretty good thing on earth? If you could have anything in the world you wanted on earth, and everything set up like you'd like it, you're sitting on a beach all day watching football, and with your wife rubbing your foot and drinking lattes or whatever you like in life, you can make a pretty good day, but you know heaven is a million times better. And it never ends. And it's such happiness, a fullness of joy where you say, I can't get any happier. If you got that to look forward to, why are you going to get so upset when some punky little guy in a Honda with a loud exhaust cuts you off? And you go home and... Because all of a sudden, somebody at work says a few mean words to you. Your neighbor plays their music too loud in your life. You're ready to throw it. Have joy. Have joy. Have joy. The foundation of joy is being in the presence of God, not in simply having easy times. My joy no man takes from you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray today that we learn to have joy in life. Oh, there's a lot of people who are bearers in their families. There are ladies and men and children who are just mean and nasty. They're